listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, everybody. Welcome. And since this is my last show of the year 2012, yes, we made it through. I thought we would spend it together with one of my favorite guests and yours as well. I know that because of all the positive responses that I receive every time this guy is on my show. You know, as we enter 2013, I want to send you all blessings and thoughts of good health and many moments of aha experiences, as we call them in psychology. Those aha experiences where you finally figure things out that you never did before. And things make sense. All the trouble you may have had before and problems and misunderstandings finally become clear to you. You say, you know what? I'm done with this and I'm feeling better and I'm moving on. No more drama. Let me ask you something, guys. Would you like to have happier times and better relationships, enjoy your career, learn new talents in the new year? All those resolutions you have about things you're going to do? Well, my special guest, Mr. Bert Goldman, is going to help you achieve just those things. You can achieve all that stuff. Now, Bert, as you may know, is known as the American Monk because he studied and he has been mentored by some of the most inspiring and enlightened individuals. One of my favorite is Paramahansa Yogananda. He worked personally with him. Jose Silva, just to name a few. Bert has presented thousands of seminars and workshops all over the world to help people improve their lives. And, of course, he's famous for his series called Quantum Jumping. And it helps you get in touch with your supermind, your doppelganger. We'll find out more about that. Bert, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
My and happy, pleasure.
Happy holidays.
Oh, happy holidays to you.
This is your last interview. It's mine also.
Well, that's great. That's good. So we're going to just kick back until the new year slowly rolls in and we manifest more wonderful things for everybody else. How's that?
Sounds good.
Good. You know what, Bert? It's funny because I was talking to a friend of mine. I went to Mexico 2 years ago on my holiday, and I had interviewed you just before that during the summer. And I got a hold of your Quantum Jumping One series. And while I was relaxing on the beach there, I really enjoyed using it. I was listening to your audio tapes, and you know what? They really helped me learn some new things and get some inward answers that I always needed to and all that stuff. So maybe you can just sort of share, because we're going to be talking about the concept of quantum jumping, the quantum physics and all that. What is quantum jumping all about?
Well, it's let me try to encapsulize it, put it in a nutshell, so to speak.
Kind of loaded question there.
But to do that, I have to give you the how it came about.
Yeah.
Because in the first of all, let me get one thing clear. I know absolutely nothing about quantum physics. People say, well, that doesn't sound like quantum physics. It's not quantum physics. But I got the idea from quantum physics.
Yes.
The quantum physicists, as opposed to the physicists, the quantum physicists I've always looked at as being more to the right group of physicists.
Yeah.
The quantum physicists pretty much as a group believe that there is an infinite number of universes. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like a very simple statement, and it's probably one of the most complicated statements you can hear, because what is infinity?
Yes.
If there is an infinite number of universes, that means they're unending. They never began and they will never end. There's no definition for infinity. So I've come up with my own. My definition of infinity is one more.
Hmm.
Or what?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. If you say that there's a quadrillion universes, I would say, well, infinity means one more. One more what?
Yeah.
One more quadrillion? Yes. Yeah. Whatever you can come up with is one
right.
more.
Right.
Okay. Now, again, the quantum physicists believe that there are an infinite number of universes, mm-hmm. and because it's infinite, whatever you can imagine is right. in one of those universes.
Right.
Picture these universes as bubbles. Each bubble, we're in a bubble universe.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire universe with our 200 billion stars in the Milky Way, which is one galaxy, 200 billion galaxies. When you multiply 200 billion by 200 billion, you get a finite number.
Right.
Mathematics is all finite. Mm-hmm. But that's just one bubble universe. Now picture every grain of sand on every desert, on every beach, every grain of sand as one of those bubble universes, and you'll come short
yes.
of infinity. You won't even come close to infinity. All right, so far we're in the quantum physics world.
Right.
They also believe that whatever you can imagine is, so that in one of those universes, there's a billionaire you, an entrepreneur you, a presidential you, a king, a queen, a homeless never mind.
I know what you're going to say.
Are you? You can imagine is in one of those universes,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
Now, they pretty much agree on this, but what they also say is that it's impossible to leave your bubble.
Yes.
Due to the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
The one law of physics that everyone knows about is the speed of light. The speed of light.
Yeah.
Has limitations,
mm-hmm.
and this limits us to our universe. So
right.
you can't even approach the speed of light
mm-hmm.
in the world of physics. So therefore, you can never leave your bubble.
Yes.
All right, that's quantum physics. That got me thinking.
Yeah.
I don't work in the world of physics. I work in the world of metaphysics.
Yes, you do.
So what does that mean? Meta means beyond. Mm. So the world of metaphysics is a world beyond physics.
Mm.
I can outrun the speed of light, so to speak, with a thought. I can imagine myself standing on Mars while I'm talking to you.
Yep.
In my mind,
yep.
I can imagine myself standing on the sun and fanning myself.
Right.
Or drinking a glass of orange. Doesn't matter. And how long would it take me to imagine myself on the sun? No time at all.
That's right.
Well, I know. I've always known that. Now, that being the case, maybe that successful me in another universe, maybe I can reach that person.
Hmm.
Well, what if I could? So what? Well, maybe I could get some advice from that person. Maybe I can find out why that person is successful and I'm not. Because it would be the same person. It would be me.
Right. Exactly.
Different programming with a different parent, let's say, with a different teacher,
uh-huh.
with a different peer group. Something would be different. Or why would that person be different than me? Because they made different choices, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I could tap into the rhythm of that person, the energy of that person. That's how quantum jumping got started.
That's a great way of thinking and doing it. And by the way, the other person, you know, because of the concepts of physics, there are, you know, infinite possibilities of us, so as to speak, in other universes doing other things that possibly we want to. Those are called our doppelganger. That's what the quantum word is for it, right, Bert?
That's correct. A doppelganger, it's a German word. It means double walker.
Aha.
I prefer twin self.
There you go.
It's more easily relatable. You can relate to a twin self.
Sure.
But it's the same thing. Okay. Doppelganger, twin self, same thing.
Okay, so you got the idea. You started thinking about the doppelganger or the twin self and the possibilities, and then you went, aha, wait a minute. How did you apply those concepts to your quantum jumping?
The first time I did it, I was teaching a class in San Diego on creativity.
Right.
Nothing to quantum physics or quantum jumping or anything. As a matter of fact, this was before I started teaching quantum jumping.
Yeah.
And I said, to be creative, all you have to do is say to yourself, I want to be creative, or I won't get into the lecture, because it's a long lecture on how to be more creative. And
right.
Somebody said, well, let's see how you can be more creative. You be creative. I always like to practice and use myself as a guinea pig, so to speak, as a test. And somebody said, you be creative. And I said, well, okay, I am creative. No, be creative in something you don't know anything about. I don't know anything about a lot of things. But, if I don't know it, I don't know it. How can I? So somebody said, do this, do that. And I said, pick something and I'll see what I can do with it.
Yeah.
So somebody said, well, become a great violinist. I said, no, well, I can't do that. Why not? Because there's a right brain and there's a left brain. The right brain is your imaginative side, the right side of your hemisphere. And the left is more the pragmatic side.
Mm-hmm.
So say that the violinist, the dexterity of the fingers would be left brain, and the musical side would be the right brain, and I can't get the dexterity. That takes practice. So pick something that I don't need dexterity.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else said something, and then somebody said, what do you know about photography? I said, I don't know about photography.
Right.
Okay, let's say you become the world's greatest photographer. I said, well, I'm not going to become the world's greatest photographer, but let me just take a decent picture that you all enjoy.
Right.
Okay, let's see you do that. All right. So it's a two-weekend, a double-weekend class.
Mm-hmm.
So during the week, I live in Los Angeles at the time.
Yes.
It's just a couple hours to San Diego. I'm driving back and forth, but I'm staying at a hotel.
Mm.
And I was kind of fooling around with the idea of quantum jumping at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, gee, I wonder what would happen if I went into the meditative state, which is your jumping off place, and went into a twin self who was a photographer. I wonder if he could give me some lessons or something.
Ah.
And all the time I'm thinking, I know it sounds goofy, I'm saying this to myself, but I do a lot of goofy things and they seem to work. And so I go into a very deep meditative state, and now your intention is the secret to all these things.
Yeah.
What do you intend to do with this? Whatever you intend to do, that's what's going to happen. Well, my intention was to meet my doppelganger, or my twin self, who was a successful photographer.
Okay.
So I meditate,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I imagine that I see a person with a velvet black hood over his head standing in front of one of those old-fashioned cameras,
they
used to have.
Right.
And it was me, but I couldn't see the face because the velvet was over his head. And I says, hi, hey, can you teach me how to be a good photographer?
And this is in your meditative state.
This is my meditative state. And I swear I heard the words, take a lot of pictures.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
Well, I'm thinking, What kind of advice is this?
Yeah.
Take a lot of.
Yeah, really.
A 4-year-old could have told me that.
Yeah, you wanted something a little deeper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I said, well, the heck with it. Oh, I said, this is goofy. This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So I bought a camera because I didn't have a camera. I had a Polaroid, but I wanted a regular camera. This is before digital. This is some years back.
Yeah.
And I go out and I take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
I took a roll of film, which is at that time 36 in a roll, and I took a lot of pictures and I laid them out on the bed after they developed, and I got a lot of pictures, and it was just pictures. Yeah. Well, that didn't work. So I said, well, I'm not going to give up on this. So I go back into the meditative state with my intention to see the same guy, the same me.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And again, I see him, and he's under the hood. And I say, say, I took a lot of pictures, and I just got a lot of pictures. And I hear, plant yourself.
Plant yourself. Okay.
And I says, what is that supposed to mean?
Right. And that's all he said. And you came out of your meditative state wondering, what is that supposed
plant yourself.
To
mean? Yeah. No, I'm insisting. I'm talking to myself, right. You know, as I'm meditating. I'm right. Saying, what do you mean, plant yourself? And he, like, waves me away. Doesn't say anything.
Oh.
All I got from this guy, me, is take a lot of pictures and plant yourself.
Okay.
Meaning absolutely nothing to me.
Right.
So I says, how the heck with it? So I bought a whole mess of film, and I'm in San Diego, so I go to the marina. And I figure, well, you know, at the marina, you take pictures of boats and ocean. It's beautiful. So I walk on, there's some rocks there, and I'm walking on some rocks under a bridge to get a good perspective. And I got my camera, and it's slippery. So I slam my feet down on the rocks to get a better purchase. And as I'm doing that, I'm thinking, gee, I'm planting myself.
Right.
I wonder if that's what it meant.
Huh.
So now I'm standing in one spot, and I'm taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
I go all the way from the left to the right to take like a panorama, and then I go up from that and then down. So I took well over 100 pictures, standing in one spot, planted. And I'm thinking, one of these has got to come out. So I took like 130, 140 pictures, and I get them all developed, and I go to the hotel after they're developed at a one-hour place.
Wow.
And I lay them all out on the bed looking for the best picture.
Right.
But what I'm seeing is something extraordinary. I'm not seeing 100 pictures.
Right.
I'm seeing one picture. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Because I planted myself in one spot.
Yes.
Every time I took a picture, it interlaced with the next one.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I took the pictures, and then I went out and I bought a mat board and glued them all together, brought them into class, and they were dumbfounded. Well, from that, I wound up in a museum.
Yes? Are you serious?
Yeah. Some of my pictures wound up in museums. There's one in Geneva. There was one in Oklahoma City. People started buying my photograph. Actually, you can see my photographs. You can't buy them because they're all sold.
Yeah.
But on art.us, you can see my photography there. It's probably the most unusual photography anybody ever saw.
Wow.
I created a whole new thing, and I'm thinking all the time, well, this can't be. You know, it's crazy, you know, it can't be. So I said, well, I'll try something else. What else can't I do?
Right.
And then I started doing one thing after another, and I started writing, I started singing, and all. One day, I'm bringing more to the present. I was 78 years old. So this is a few years back.
Yes.
Now, you don't start something new at 78.
Oh, but I'm, why not, Bert?
With quantum jumping, maybe I can. I'll try it.
Yes.
What is it that I know I can't do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I can't tap dance, but I don't want to learn. One thing I do know, I don't know the first thing about art.
Mm.
I don't know how to paint. If I were to paint a painting of a person, it would be a circle for a head, a line for the, you know, like a stick figure. That's about as best I can do.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be a good stick figure. I use quantum jumping.
Yes.
And I go into an artist self of mine.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm getting a little more sophisticated because by now I'm really working out the quantum jumping concept. Mm. And I realize that you can't bring back, you're not actually go into a universe physically, of course, it's impossible.
Right.
But mentally you can do it.
Sure.
Now you can't bring back, the mental and the physical are two different consciousnesses, so you can't bring back anything physical.
Right.
But you can bring back mental things. Now, what is a mental thing? Well, energy is.
Yes.
And rhythm is.
Right, right.
Now, what do I mean by rhythm? Hmm. Everybody has a different rhythm. Every person has a rhythm. Every place has a rhythm. Right. Every religion has a rhythm.
Right, right.
As an example, if you were to be standing in a hospital or a police station, you'd have a negative rhythm.
Right.
Whereas in a church or a temple or a synagogue, you'd have a very positive
right.
rhythm.
Right. I guess, like a higher vibration or something, right? Yeah.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Vibration is energy. It's all rhythm.
Yeah.
It all has to do with rhythm.
Right.
If a person meshes with you.
Right.
If you see them, and as soon as you see them, you like them.
Yes.
Your rhythms are in coinciding
right.
with each other.
Right.
You're in rhythm with one another. Sometimes you'll meet somebody, you'll feel like putting your boot in their behind.
That's
and
right.
You don't even know them.
You don't know why, but it's just the vibe isn't there. There's you're not in tune with them, I guess, as you may say.
Rhythm is off. Well, I do not have the rhythm of an artist. But my twin self is an artist, so he has that rhythm that I can bring back. Mm. So when I went into the artist self of mine, I did two things. Mm-hmm. First of all, I observed him.
Yes.
I watched him painting in my mind. You know, it's like a daydream.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him, and then after observing, I merged with him, and that's the key. Merging means that you, instead of watching him paint, you're painting, but you're him.
Yes.
And so that gave me the rhythm. And when I came out, I can't say that I suddenly turned into Van Gogh, but I had the urge to paint.
Wow.
And so I went out and I bought paint, I bought canvases. And mm-hmm. Now, that was a few years back. I said I started when I was 17, and at first the paintings were not so hot. But today, I painted over probably well over 200-300 canvases. And my canvases, I'm doing better than Van Gogh, actually, because mine sell.
There you go. You know, Bert, I've seen a lot of your pictures, and they're really good. They're real. I mean, I can't believe, you say, as Bert, before meeting the other people who you are, the doppelgangers, didn't know how to paint or didn't have the vibe of painting, but now all of a sudden you are a terrific artist now that you have asked yourself and the other parallel universe who you are or how to paint. And they, you took this information in. And I want to share with the listeners, by the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here. And my special guest, oh, he's so great. Bert Goldman, he's the author, public speaker, and creator of Quantum Jumping Techniques and a whole slew of other books and, techniques to help you have, better lives, be happier, good relationships, better experiences at work, however you want to say it. But we're specifically talking about his quantum jumping technique. It's meditation, visualization techniques. And I just want to say that, Bert's been talking about how he got into it, his personal experiences with it, after working with mentors who are amazing. And, of course, he co-created the Silva Mind Method as well. So it's the quantum jumping thing, as I understand, Bert, is about helping people really get into that meditative visualization, those states in order to, I see it as getting in touch with their higher selves. If they want to hear something or learn something. So so what you offer is the Quantum Jumping series. You have one and two. I studied the one, and that's why I'm an advocate of it, because it really helped me learn some things and practice new things that I never knew before. So it really is a great technique. So
You know, we get so many. It's so gratifying for me.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I do it is because all these testimonials that we get from literally all over the world.
Yeah.
Our modern world is so it's stupefying. Facebook. You know, when I first heard about Facebook, I said, "Ah, another crazy thing."
Yeah.
But I'm on Facebook all the time because I'm talking to people in Saudi Arabia, in India, in London, and also next door. It doesn't mean anything. And I put my art up there, and I give them advice up there. I tell them about how they can improve their relationships and everything. And it's all, it gives me the world as a platform, whereas before I had to put an ad in the paper and then hire a hall or something and, and go to like a Holiday Inn and do a seminar. Now I'm doing seminars all over the world just through Facebook and the blogs that I have. So it's very gratifying.
Oh, I bet. You know what I think is also very helpful, Bert, are your series on CDs or, you know, the apps folks can download. And I say that, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not getting anything out of this, people. I've done it, but I've experienced the quantum jumping myself. I think it's terrific because it's your voice. And the sort of the sounds in the background that lead and guide folks into these meditative states so they can start to visualize and become part of, you know, the world of their other self in whatever other. But it's almost like you help people ask themselves the higher state within them. They have a higher mind. We all have a higher mind. We all have infinite knowledge. We just need to tap into it.
Absolutely.
And that's what your series really does. It guides people step by step. And there's hours of meditative techniques on there, I think, that are terrific to help people.
Yeah, when you go to quantumjumping.com, it reads like, come on, you know, who are you kidding?
Yeah, I
like but that. But it's, you know, it's all true.
Yeah.
And my marketing people, I tell my marketing people to, I don't market it myself. I don't want to fool with that.
Yeah.
But I have honest marketing people who've been with me for years.
Yeah.
I tell them two things. I say, keep the price down, number one. And then number two, not everybody's going to like this.
No.
I say, anybody wants their money back, no questions. Give it to them.
Right.
I don't want one question.
Right.
Just give them their money.
Well, it's cool.
And that's the way we've been working for years.
Yeah.
And it works.
I think
it
so. And the beauty of it, too, again, it's you. It's your voice. You haven't hired an actor.
Oh, I do it all.
And you do it all. But you have a soothing voice, by the way. And also, it's not, there's a book that comes with it, too, a booklet. But unlike a lot of other enlightened people who try to help us meditate and who I feature a lot on the show, they're books, you know, that we have to read and translate into our consciousness and then practice the techniques in a book. What's really cool is these are tapes that are guiding you and telling you how to think and how to get comfortable and where to go. And a lot of people who come to see me in my practice at work say, can you give me some kind of techniques to help me meditate and get in touch with my higher self? And I suggest your stuff. Because, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, there's hypnosis things out there, and there's breathing and, you know, very peaceful music and all, and that's great. But you're actually, you know, a step-by-step guide. You're guiding them down the path. You're guiding them down the hallway, which...
And keep it simple.
Yeah, keeping it simple. That's right. That's
I tell people, if you can do it, In a volume, you can do it in a chapter. If you can do it in a chapter, you can do it in a paragraph. If you can do it in a paragraph, let's do it in a sentence.
That's right.
Keep it simple so you understand. People always ask me about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Books written about relationships. There are thousands of them. And I can give you the key to a relationship in a few words. A relationship is based on needs.
Yes.
If you fill the needs of a person you want the relationship with, you can have a good relationship. It's a mutual filling, that is. I mean, they fill your needs, you fill their needs, a good relationship. The needs aren't being filled. Poor relationship. One of the problems that people have with their children is they don't realize that as a child grows, their needs change.
Yes.
A 5-year-old has different needs than a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old. If you don't recognize that, you're still filling the needs of the 5-year-old that you did for 5 years. And suddenly the kid is 15. What happened to my beautiful child? They turned into a monster. They didn't turn into anything. Their needs changed and you didn't recognize it.
That's really true.
That's true.
Yeah. No, that's simple.
is as simple as that. I like to define words so that you can use them.
Mm-hmm. What I appreciate, too, about your methods and your books you have and you have a lot of other packages as well, folks. If you go on to, quantumjumping.com, you can find out more information about some of the other products, some of the other tapes and books and things like that Bert has. You do. You talk about helping people with relationships and creative visualization to help us deal with negative people. And you have that personal development technique about the mind box that you also offer. But it's step-by-step sort of helping people get into those mental places where they can, become self-realized, tapping into that, higher self of knowledge.
So everybody has access.
Boy, yeah.
It's just, you have to open the door, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid to sometimes. Or, they think that if they, open the door, it'll be scary to finding out more and more. But it's really, if you go to, like you said, a positive rhythm, in your mind, if you go to a place where I'm trying to achieve this or I'm looking forward to meeting this other person, who is me, possibly, in my imagination, visualization, that it's going to be a wonderful, positive thing. And you get a lot of information.
Yes.
Yeah.
You go to a I mentioned intents before.
Yeah.
If your intention is to go to a positive you, a good you, then that's who you're going to go to.
No, exactly.
But you want to bring fear into it. Mm-hmm. All fear is you're expecting something bad to happen. Right. If you're expecting something bad to happen, then it's likely to happen.
Yeah.
Expect something good to happen.
Exactly. You and I have talked about this before, and it's basically, a lot of it is based on the Silva mind method, who co-authored that. You worked with Jose Silva, and that was an amazing process to bring to the public, because a lot of people didn't understand about self-hypnosis, about the different, brain waves and where, you can really open up your mind by getting into that alpha, right? Or the theta stages where you're just allowing information to come into your subconscious. So
yes, Jose brought, he brought a lot of ancient philosophies, the processes came originally from Emile Coué in the early part of last century. But Jose brought it up to modern times and made it palatable to the average person. And in the 60s and 70s, the Silva method just about took over the world.
Mm.
And all of it is still wonderful. It's, I'm an advocate of the Silva method also.
Yes.
I taught it for 20 years. Why wouldn't I be?
Of course. And it works. it is.
So many things are offshoots and tributaries of Silva, mm-hmm. which came out of as I mentioned, Emile Coué and his mm-hmm. Every Day and Every Way I'm Getting Better and Better.
That's right.
Was mainly done to change a person's attitude.
That's right.
Looking at things that they're going to get better, not worse.
Yeah. And these, of course, came into being a lot of, as they so-called cognitive behavioral tools that they use in psychology today. I mean, positive affirmations. Believing, the more you say it, the more you act as if, you will become that and you will believe it. It's really very simple, but it works. It's tested, and empirical studies show that these techniques do work.
Yeah, and it all, it, people often ask me, what is, if you could sum up everything, could you have one sentence that would tell it all?
Yeah.
And I say to them, I'll do something better than that. I'll give you one word that says it all.
Hmm.
Well, what's that? The word is attitude.
Yeah.
It's your attitude. Now, some people don't quite understand that word, attitude. Let me give you an example, a little story.
Yeah.
A very short story. I was teaching a class in Tarzana, where I used to live, in the San Fernando Valley. And I was talking about love and seeing the positive side of thing and attitude and all that.
Right.
And I had just bought a car, mm-hmm. and it was a parking lot. And I went out to lunch, and a few people were coming with me, so we're all going in my car, and there were about five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked to the car, and as soon as we get to the car, there's a big dent in the fender.
Uh-oh.
That's a brand new car. It still has paper plates. I mean, I had the car about a week.
Oh.
And somebody had backed into it and put a big dent in the fender.
Oh.
And the people who were coming with me, they all looked at me and they're smiling because I'm talking about, you know, not getting angry and having a good attitude. And they're expecting me to blow up, which a lot of people would.
Yeah.
It's something like that. You know, somebody put a dent in the fender, didn't leave a note,
yeah.
never mind the insurance, and just left. So I took a look at the dent. And I said, get in the car. There's a body and fender shop down the street. I want to find out how much it costs to fix.
Right.
Well, you're not going to get a fix now. I said, no, I just want to find out what it costs to fix. And whatever it costs, I'm going to make three times that much in the next month doing something that I don't know how to do right now, doing something different than I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
What are you going to do that for? I said, well, look at here. Here's how you're controlling your attitude. Whenever I look at the dent, instead of thinking that no good lowlife, that son of a gun who put the dent, instead of getting angry, every time I look at the dent, I'm going to think, how can I make $900 because it was going to cost $300 to fix it?
Right.
And you know something? I did make the $900. Matter of fact, I made more than $900. I started something entirely new, all because of that dent.
You know, that's and that is, that's such a, it's also a very Zen way of looking at stuff that happens in our lives that seems negative at the time or could make us really angry, but it's great to be able to, it is attitude, Bert, you're so right, to be able to say, you know, I talked about aha moments at the beginning of the show, but you say, you know, this hurts or it's painful or it wasn't good, but what am I learning from this? I'm learning that I can get through this and I can actually conquer and even do better, you know. So that's exactly what you're talking about, is the attitude.
Attitude is everything. You control your attitude, you control your life, mm-hmm. and the life of people around you.
Mm-hmm. And your quantum jumping series also really helps people. You know, you can learn anything from your higher self. You can go into that meditative or imagery state and ask your higher self, you know, what you need to know in terms of relationship issues, in terms of just understanding whatever, learning something easier, doing better at a job, having more money, you know, taking care of your health. They're all things available that you can find out when you tap into that higher self with your visualization guidance.
It's all there. It's all there. You have a self that is doing what you want to do in every field and in every time from birth to death.
Right.
You pick it.
Exactly. So true.
Another beautiful part of quantum jumping is, see, there's no time element in quantum jumping.
Mm.
Like right now, there's, when I'm talking to you, there's no now.
Right.
What I just said is already in the past.
Yes.
So there's no now. It's a flow. But in quantum jumping, everything is now. Now, what do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
If it's infinite, you can go to any period, any time period, where you are. You can go into you as a cave person.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into you in the year 5000.
Yes.
And you may be surprised at what you sense and what you see. Everything is now, it's like right now where our flow, the time flow is like a motion picture. Mm-hmm. But in quantum jumping, that motion picture is a series of still photographs. And you can go to any time zone. Now, so what? You know, it sounds interesting, but how is that valuable?
Right.
Well, valuable because any problem that a person has, in all probability, it happened during their younger, during the period, the first octave of their life, I say, from 1 year to 7 years of age.
Yeah.
Most problems are created at that time.
Right.
Inadvertently, due to parental programming, peer programming, educational programming, religious programming, mm-hmm. all that programming creates the you of today. Now, with quantum jumping, you can go to that you of that time and correct a lot of the programs.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
You can jump into the past as well as the present.
Yes, you can. You know, you can go into that old state of maybe trying to figure out why you felt like you did as a child and have continued to feel that way as an adult or an older adult and work through it.
But exactly.
You know, and that's having insight. You know, you go into that meditative state that your quantum jumping CDs or you know, apps on your iPhone or whatever provide, so you can kind of get into that mind state. Tap into that, which is a higher self in that and what's cool is getting into the meditation, because you guide them, count down, you know, much like the hypnosis, but just gently getting them through into that meditative state so they open their minds up. And that's what I like about it.
Yes. See, hypnosis, trance, meditation, prayer, it's all pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
It's all a relaxed state of mind. It's taking you to a jumping off place. And basically the main reason for meditation, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. is to reduce this flotsam and jetsam that's floating through your mind. We normally have 1,000 thoughts going through our mind at any one time. Mm-hmm. Thousands. One scientist figured out, I don't know how he counted them, but
right.
that we have 3,000 thoughts during the day.
Right.
We always, everything, you see something, you smell something, you touch something, everything is creating a thought in your mind. Now, meditation, the whole idea of meditation is to concentrate on one thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's the value. That's why I look at it the same as prayer. With prayer, when you're praying, you're concentrating on one thought, whatever you're praying for.
Right.
With hypnosis, the basic difference between meditation and prayer and hypnosis is with hypnosis, it's an outside agency doing it.
Yes.
I'm doing it to you, or a hypnotist is doing it to you. Whereas with meditation, you're doing it to yourself.
Yes. That's really true.
And there's the difference. But when you see meditation, that is a mysterious thing. All it is relaxation.
Yes.
Well,
it's so
true. The deeper
true.
You go,
yeah.
the more relaxed you are.
Yes.
Now, what's the value of meditation? There's so many values in meditation. It takes your mind away from your body and allows your body to correct any infirmities that it has.
Mm-hmm.
And also thoughts.
Right.
We have, I don't have to tell you how many different attitudes there are in the world today.
Oh, yeah.
Just the political world.
Sure, exactly.
How in the world are we so far apart in our thinking?
Right.
Attitude. It's all an attitude.
And we do. We need to clear, and you're right, the meditation and the imagery and all that we do. The benefits we gain by, and it doesn't have to be complicated, like you said, it's very simple, by the simple concepts of just having the one thought and the being in the now and keeping that. It does so many things. It changes your energy. Really, truly, this is empirical evidence. You know, it helps get rid of all the clutter. It helps us focus. It helps our health because it lowers our stress. You know, there's so many benefits. And that's what you know, do offer to help people with your quantum jumping. Bert, real fast, what was it like studying and being a personal mentor with Paramahansa Yogananda?
I have met a lot of people in my life, mm-hmm. a lot of royalty, business people, people, psychologists, physicists, you name it. I've probably been involved in some manner with them.
Yes.
The only time that I felt overwhelmed by a personality was when I was sitting in front of Paramahansa Yogananda.
Mm.
It was almost like he wasn't a human being. It was overwhelming. Just to have him touch me was...
Yes.
It's difficult to explain, but he was a giant among giants. I don't know if you've read his book, but he's written a number of books.
Oh,
but,
yeah, Autobiography of a Yogi. Yes, that's one of my favorite books.
Well, then you'll get a glimmering of what yeah. I went through when I sat in front of him when he actually baptized me, mm. or he initiated me, I should say.
Mm.
It was just overwhelming, and I spoke with him, and I'll never forget. He wrote me a letter, mm. and this is, of course, we're going back 60 years. You know, he passed away. The way a yogi would during a dinner for the lieutenant governor at the time at the Ambassador Hotel.
Right.
But this was in 1950 that I'm talking about. So we're going back over 60 years. And I just wasn't meant to have that letter, I guess. Because the one thing in my life that I would really love to have in front of me was the letter that he wrote to me.
Yes.
And I don't have it, unfortunately.
Aww.
It appeared many, many years ago. But to say that he was just an overwhelming personality.
Yes.
Jose Silva was a big personality. He was a strong personality, but you know, he was a man. He was.
Yes.
I liked him. He liked me. I liked his brother. I liked his whole family. You know, I'm familiar with the whole family.
Sure.
I was with them for 20 years,
yeah.
after all.
Sure, sure. That's a great story.
He's got a family. Jose had 10 children.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. Nobody knows that, I don't think. Well, listen, Bert, I just we're running out of time. It goes so fast whenever I talk with you. That's the way it is, huh? There is no time.
We've been talking almost an hour.
I know. So, listen, I want to tell folks out there to check out quantumjumping.com. I'm going to put the links up on the webpage here on LA Talk Radio in the archives for this show, which will be available tomorrow afternoon for you to check out, listen, replay over and over again. And do check out Quantum Jumping because it's really helpful, really terrific, folks. This is, again, as Bert was talking about, personal experience. I'm a guinea pig, too. And I had great experiences with it. So,
Dr. Michelle,
yes.
do my Facebook page.
I'll do it.
There's some interesting comments there. And also, you'll see a lot of my art there.
Cool.
I do stuff.
You do lots of stuff, Bert. You're my hero. So, hey,
thanks
a million for being my last guest of the year. And
thank you. It was a pleasure as always.
Yeah, well, me too. And you know, you're a real strong guy because I know you have a really bad cold, and yet you hung in there to come on the show today. So
I look at a cold as a cleansing thing.
There you go. See, it's attitude, right?
You got it.
All right. Thanks a million, Bert. Blessings to you, and have a wonderful new year.
Thank you. Have a wonderful year. Look forward to 2013.
Me too. Take good care. Okay. We'll talk to you then now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, if you want the information up, it will be here tomorrow in all the archives. We got to get off the couch. You can stay if you wish because there's more great programming coming up here on LA Talk Radio plus CBS News. I'll be back next Friday. Oh, boy, I have some more great authors who are going to help you out with your life and relationships and your thinking. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Take care. Happy New Year, everybody. Bye-bye.